Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening, the service over the phone and also over the radio. And later in the recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this wet but very cool Sabbath, October 13th, 2018. This is lesson 264. This is our part 2 review of Chapter 57, entitled One Thing Thou Lackest, Part 2. Our opening hymn to our series is entitled I'd Rather Have Jesus. And if anyone of the dear family would like to join in the hymn, may you bubble up. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dress way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dress way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dress way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer, Bobola.
If you could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for letting us be able to have this blessed day. We thank you for letting us be able to wake us up this morning. We thank you for letting us be able to have it another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins, all the things now Christ our experience. Forgive us if we've done anything wrong, your sight without even knowing. I pray that you may be able to let us be strong and be brave and be courageous. We thank you for letting us be able to prepare ourselves in time for the Sabbath. We thank you for letting us be able to have another blessed Sabbath day. I pray that we may be able to keep on learning many of these lessons that we read of. And we pray also that you may be able to let us be faithful unto you no matter where we are, no matter what we do. Let us be obedient, let us be able to also keep on being courteous and unselfish, noble, be any character trait that has a being. Let's be able to also keep on being faithful unto thee no matter what troubles lie ahead. Also pray that you may be able to be with our brethren and any of their friends, and also let us be able to keep on spreading the gospel to any lowly person who needs to understand it or who wants to. Let us avoid temptations that the devil may use against us, and also.
In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the dear brethren that are joining us. Our opening verse for our review lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 from the King James Version as a memory verse. It says, "Come now and let us reason together." That's what God said. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord." Come now, let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, let us reason together. That's what God says. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your questions, your thoughts, your testimony, let's take a few minutes to review what you have read last Sabbath from part one of our lesson entitled, "One Thing Thou Lackest, Part Two in a Book Desire of Ages." If any one of the dear family would like to take the first.
The Desire of Ages, page 519. Christ gave this man a test. He called upon him to choose between the heavenly treasure and worldly greatness. The heavenly treasure was assured him if he would follow Christ, but self must yield. His will must be given into Christ's control. The very holiness of God was offered to the young ruler. He had the privilege of becoming a man of God and a co-heir with Christ to the heavenly treasure, but he must take up the cross and follow the Savior in the path of self-denial. Desire of Ages, page 519, paragraph 5. And on the slide says, "One treasure, Jesus our Lord, Jesus our Savior, Jesus our life." It also has a memory verse from Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, the King James Version. "But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." And it shows the picture, treasure in heaven, and it also shows a picture that says, "Pick up your cross and follow me." Thank you.
Desire of Ages, page 518. Christ's words are barely to the ruler the invitation, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Joshua 24:15. The choice was left with him. Jesus was yearning for his conversion. He had shown him the plague spot in his character, and with what deep interest he watched the issue as the young man weighed the question. And on the sides it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. In the middle it says, in John 8, 31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Continuing, if he had decided to follow Christ, he must obey his words in everything. He must turn from his ambitious projects with what earnest anxious longing. What soul hunger did the salvation Savior look at the young man, hoping that he would yield to the invitation to the Spirit of God? Of the Spirit of God.
Christ made the only terms which could place the ruler where he would perfect a Christian character. His words were words of wisdom, though they appeared severe and exacting. In accepting and obeying them was the ruler's only hope of salvation. His exalted position and his possessions were exerting a subtle influence for evil upon his character. And on the side it says, And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9.
Continuing, if he cherished, they would supplant God in his affections to keep back little or much from God was the retrain that which will would lessen his mortal strength and ability for If the things of this world are cherished, however, uncertain terrain
and
unworthy may they be, they will become all
absorbing.
Well.
So blessing everyone. The ruler was quick to discern all The ruler was quick to discern all the wonders for his world in the world. He was a member of the honor council of the Jews, and Satan was tempting him with flattering prospect of the future. And on the next to the slide, it says,
Which is profit, not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivered from death. Proverbs 11:4. Luke 9:23. Margin. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Next slide, please. Continuing the reading, Desire of Ages 5:20. He wanted the heavenly treasure, but he wanted also the temporal advantage of his riches. What his riches would bring him. He was sorry that such condition existed. He desired eternal life, but he was not willing to make the sacrifice. The cost of eternal life seemed too great, and he went away sorrowful. But he had great possession. Desire of Ages 5:20, paragraph 3. Amen.
His claim that he had kept the law of God was a deception. He showed that riches were his idol. He could not keep the commandments of God while the world was first of his affections. He loved the gifts of God more than he loved the giver. Christ had offered the young man fellowship with himself. Follow me, he said, but the Savior was not so much to him as his own name among men or to his possessions. Next slide, please.
Continuing, to give up his earthly treasure that was seen for heavenly treasure that was unseen was too great a risk. He refused the offer of eternal life and went away, and ever after the world was to receive his worship. Thousands are passing through this ordeal, weighing five against the world. Many choose the world like the young ruler. They turn from the Savior, saying in their hearts, I will not have this man as my leader.
Amen. Good job, everyone. So let's consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Bible. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, dear ones, so what have we learned and ways we have grown? Now, it is open for any one of the dear family, mommy, daddy, so little ones, or even our guests for any question. Bubble up.
How was God made?
Well, that's a good question, but one that is a mystery. We do not know. All we as human beings know is that there is a beginning and there is an end because of sin. But with God, there was no beginning and there is no end. And that is something that we as human beings just cannot understand. So it's a good question, dear sister, but it's one that cannot be answered with human wisdom. If we're faithful to the end, we'll be able to ask God himself in heaven that question. And maybe then we'll be able to understand. But at the moment, we cannot.
We know, we just read that the young ruler basically turned away from God and the world became what he meant to follow. We know that he didn't have the love of God in his heart, but it seemed also he said that he had kept the commandments. Is it safe to determine that he was also lacking faith?
The answer is yes, dear sister. He lacked the faith to accept that God would supply him with everything he needed after he sold everything and gave it to the poor. And he also lacked faith that his sacrifice for God in the present time would give him eternal riches in the future. And so both of those things are a lack of faith.
Not asking for myself, but how to educate others who may fall into the same kind of category. We see that people are going through the same ordeal, that if they can't, if troubles assail them, they can't see beyond, not they, but we as people sometimes cannot see beyond our troubles. Cannot see beyond our troubles, and sometimes are so easily led to believe, to take or to deal with what is seen over what is unseen. But how, for people that are in the faith, we know that in the Word we can find that peace and comfort. But how do we teach someone that isn't acquainted?
That is another good question. And if they're unacquainted with the Word and do not believe in God, then the only way you can teach them faith is through your own example. So, amen, and share with them the Word of God, even though they may not believe it. But your own example and God's working in your life to preserve you through whatever trial or circumstance may befall you is one of the best ways, a living testimony to try and reach their heart and show to them that there is faith that God backs up with his divine power. And hope you're feeling better soon, dear sister.
I also would like to share that if you notice, so I'm going to just kind of piggyback a little bit on what Elder Rob shared. When Christ came here and he was in the form of man, he lived the example for us to have a path that we can follow, because he also know that because of the fall that we always try to be able to adapt what we can see more than what we can't. So the word of God said by beholding, we may become transformed, we can become changed. So not only the law is giving us as the instruction for us to know what is our duty in order for us to have life, but also a pattern has been shown. And without faith, we cannot be obedient to the Lord, because faith cometh only by hearing the word of God. And it's things not seen, things hoped for. So there is many of the biblical truths to be able to determine in what way, when he said that he did the Ten Commandments, there's no way he can do the Ten Commandments without not knowing who Christ is, because he is actually the glory of that law. So he cannot do the commandment without the only example that we have and the only one that had lived the commandment in human form and also fulfilled it. There is a question that our dear Brother Joel asked. He said, is it true to say that the law is life and the law is Christ and Christ is the Word? In James, it tells you that the law is love and also liberty, and life itself is law and liberty. And Christ says that if we don't keep the commandments of God, if we break it, it will bring us towards death. So it is a very good.
Amen. And I just want to add that the law is a description of the character of God. And Christ was the messenger of God, or the representative of God, his son, down to this earth so that we could understand more of the character of God. So the law is a transcript of the character of God, of the character of Christ. And thus we're seeing Christ revealed and God revealed in the law. Sort of a follow-up question. It says, so he or Christ fulfilled the character of God? And the answer is yes. Fulfilled, if you look it up, means perfect, to perfect. And that's exactly what Christ did in human nature, was he fulfilled or perfected the character of God in his own life. And since he did it as a human being, then we can do it as well through Christ.
And it says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So those are principles that prove that he is. So meanwhile, the dear brethren are looking or even searching for other questions to be asked. If anyone of their family, little ones or mommies or daddies or even our guests have any scriptures, song or hymn, or sharing their thoughts on the reading or anything else, blah, blah, blah. There's a statement that was placed by their brother. He says, I can say if you know how to trace the image of God, then use your wisdom and trace it from the law. Amen. Is there any testimony among the dear brethren that would like to be able to share?
I just want to take a moment to just thank the Lord for bringing me through this week, because last Saturday after Sabbath, I started to feel a little sick, coughing a whole lot. And it just spiraled, went downhill. I got really sick very quickly. numb. I couldn't, he wasn't able to hear me at all. And when I was coughing, it sounded really terrible. So I was out of work for a few days. I even went to the urgent care. They did like a flu test. They did strep test. They didn't see anything that was conclusive, but my body was aching. It was just weary and I was down, and my husband, he made me honey and lime and mixture, and they made soup and everything. And I was just sitting there, and the Lord gave me the strength to go to the kitchen, and I took up the mixture of what I placed in the room of the garlic, the ginger, and the cayenne pepper. And I did like 2 doses of that, like a tea of it. And it helped to restore me to the point of 2 days after having that, I felt it went from feeling like 0% to a whole 85%, to where I was able to get up and take a shower. And though I didn't have my voice fully, I was able to sing unto the Lord and pray unto the Lord and just thank Him for His goodness. And whatever maladies that was holding me down, I just placed them at His feet. And just thanking God for his delivery through this week in that sense. So just wanted to share that. And also just praising Him for keeping my children also from not getting ill, because as much as I was down, they were still on me as if I was up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we are so glad that you are here also, dear sister, among us. And also, we have come to the end of our first section of our review, and this is the second section where we give also our dear brother Dick the opportunity to be able to share as well the study from last Sabbath. Pabala.
There we go. I was expecting that. So here we go. Boys and girls, it's, well, back here. It's review time for our story from last week. What a happy Sabbath day of worship and rest. With a happy Sabbath day of worship and rest. And if anybody has any questions, put them in the room and somebody will see them, and your questions will hopefully be able to answer them. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation, or a meeting. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Remember what dwellings are? That's where we live, our houses. Leviticus 23:3. Whatever of ours God claims from us, He returns again, enriched, transformed, that means changed in form, with His own glory. God asks us to set aside the Sabbath for Him. And He makes it special. The Sabbath and the family were alike instituted or begun in Eden. And in God's purpose, they are indissolubly, that's a nice word that you don't use much. They're indissolubly linked together. That means you can't separate them. On this day, more than on any other, it is possible for us to live the life of Eden. That means we can have special time thinking, singing, studying, and talking to and about God. That makes Him happy. It was God's plan for the members of the family to be associated in work and study, in worship and recreation. Do you remember what recreation was? And it doesn't mean sports like football and baseball and the like, but something like walking in nature or working in the garden. That is recreation. That's what recreation means, recreation. The father as priest in the household or the family, and both father and mother as teachers and companions of their children. But the results of sin having changed the conditions of life to a great degree prevents this association or being together. Often the father hardly sees the faces of his children throughout the week. Some fathers have to get up early and travel a good distance to get to their work and then return. And they come home tired and hungry. They don't get to enjoy much time with their families. He is almost wholly or completely deprived All, that means not allowed, the opportunity of companionship or instruction. Do you know what companionship means? That is being together with somebody. And instruction means teaching. But God's love has set a limit to the demands of toil or work. Over the Sabbath, he places his merciful hand. What is a merciful hand? It's a protecting hand. In his own day, he preserves or keeps for the family opportunity for communing with him, with nature, and with one another. Opportunity means a time to worship God. Since the Sabbath is the memorial of creative power, a memorial is something that helps you remember something. It is a day above all others when we should acquaint ourselves with God through his work or get to know him by enjoying nature. Happy the father and mother who can teach their children God's written word with illustrations from the open pages of the book of nature. That means show them things in nature that explain things found in the Bible. Who can gather under the green trees in the fresh, pure air and study the word and sing and praise, be praise of the Father above. By such associations, parents may bind their children to their hearts and thus God to God by ties that can never be broken. The Sabbath should be made so interesting to our families that its weekly return will be hailed with joy. Are you glad when the Sabbath comes? Or is it a long, boring day when you can't do the things you want to? If you love Jesus, you will love his Sabbath. And that's from Sons and Daughters of God, page 181. The memory verse at the beginning of this story again. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation or meeting. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings or homes. Leviticus 23:3. Okay, I don't see a bunch of questions here or comments. What have we learned anyway? Anything? For sure, we know that God intended for our families to be together more than they are, but at least on Sabbath, mamas and daddies and children can and should be together. And if it isn't a rainy day like it is here in Arkansas today, get out and walk in nature. Watch the animals, listen to the birds sing, and pray.
Amen. I know we actually have the time that we have to consider, but I'm hoping that maybe later after the meetings I can be able to share the first experience that Gina and I had a Sabbath and when we couldn't cook, how the Lord allowed someone to just happen to just show up with a basket of fruit. And that was one thing that I always remember, that if you really didn't want to violate the Sabbath in any way, and if your heart is in the right place, how the Lord manifests his power even when we least expect it. Well, dear ones, remember we had homework, and the homework was on the story time, not from last Sabbath, but for the review time for the Sabbath prior. This is my homework that I have made, and I would like to ask any one of the brethren that would like to read it, that they can be able to share. We right away realized that the word joke is not in the Bible at all. But when we was looking for the word jesting, here are the meanings on three parts. And I noticed that it actually covers the whole idea of joking in these three parts. So if any one of the dear brethren would like to read the two slides, please. Yeah, one bubble up.
With holiness in all conversation of our story time section from our last Sabbath review, where the heart is purified and refined, and made fit for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the tongue will be sanctified to the glory of God. You can surround your soul with an atmosphere that will be like breeze from the heavenly Eden. Open your heart to our Lord Jesus. Guard your tongue. Let not your tongue run at random in jesting and joking. These are signs that your heart needs to be cleansed from its defilement. I think ST is is it Sons and Daughters? Yes, Sons and Daughters, upraised. And then that's page 180, paragraph 2. And it says, by the verse from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, King James Version, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather given of thanks. And this jest is a noun, and it has three parts definition. One, a joke or witty remark, witticism. Two, a bantering remark, a piece of good-natured ridicule, taunt. Three, sport or fun, and it also gives a hyperlink for a website, https://www.dictionary.com/browse/jesting. I can bubble down and have someone share this slide.
All frivolity, all jesting and joking, all cleanliness and cheapness of spirit must be put away by Christ's ambassadors. Avoiding jesting and joking. The spirit of jesting and joking, of lightness and trifling, is a stumbling block to sinners and a worse stumbling block to those who give way to the inclination of the unsanctified heart. The fact that have allowed this trait to develop and strengthen until jesting is natural as their breath does not lessen its evil effects. When anyone can point to one trifling word spoken by our Lord or to any lightness seen in his character, he may feel that lightness and jesting are excusable in himself. The spirit is unchristian, for to be Christian is to be Christ-like. Jesus is a perfect pattern, and we must imitate his example. A Christian is the brightest type of man, a representative of Christ.
Evangelism 6:41, paragraph 2. Amen. That was beautiful.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that was my research on the matter from 2 Sabbaths ago, and I had started to even look into the consideration that being the solemn work that we have to do, and so much soul that has to be reached, the time that we have, and the quality of the time that we must keep, we have to keep into consideration that anything can happen with that very person that you're speaking to. Tomorrow is not promised to no one. And that moment could be taken to just lift up a prayer at that moment. Ask the Lord in what way that we can be able to reach the individual. So that is just my little part concerning the homework that I have gotten with that word. So walk with Jesus, dear ones. I know time is passing. So next week, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled, One Thing Thou Lackest, in our study book, The Sigh of Ages. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close with prayer, Bobla.
Before I offer prayer here in closing, let me remind you of a quote that I told you about a couple of weeks ago. All frivolous words, all lightness and trifling, are enticements of the enemy to deprive you of spiritual strength. That's jesting and joking. Resist this evil in the name of the God of Israel. I am 9 of the Testimonies, page 133. Shall we pray? Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for a chance to get together here. And even though we're a long way apart, the computer allows us to be together. Study your word and to draw strength from you and from each other, that we may be faithful when our time of trial comes. Be with us as we go into the next meeting now.
Rosita, you want me to bubble up? I just wanted to make a little comment, if it's okay. English is my second language, and sometimes when I don't understand a word, I look for the meaning, and I still don't understand the word, I look for the synonym of it. And it breaks down the word and what relates to the word. And when you break down joking or joke, it will tell you a whole lot of horrible words to relate to that word. So sometimes, you know, like I said, English is my second language, and sometimes I don't understand a word and I want a little more broader sense of it. I look for, maybe I say in this synonym wrong, but that's how I look for it. I just wanted to share that.
Amen, and very true. So next week we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled One Thing Thou Lackest. And dear ones, that will be held October 20, 2018, part 3, and that will be lesson 265. I hope and pray, dear one, that you all were blessed. So have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath, dear ones.
And you also, dear sister, and before we get into our youth and adult Sabbath school time, I wanted to share that the Greek word for jesting in Ephesians 5:4 is 2160 in the Strong's Concordance, and it means well turned, ready to repartee, jocose, witticism, for instance, in a vulgar sense, and ribaldry, jesting. So the jesting there in Ephesians 5:4 is in the context of vulgarity, to have vulgar, of course, is towards the sexual aspect. And so it is jesting, joking, witticisms towards the sexual aspect. And a lot of the jesting and joking that is going around is on that particular vulgarity side. And so that jesting that the Bible condemns is in a vulgar sense. Now, foolish talking would also come into the aspect of just throwing out witticisms to generate a laugh. So Ephesians 5:4 covers that whole base. It is not just in the vulgarity of jesting, but also just to throw something out to generate a laugh. But there are innocent ways in which it just becomes funny. And God is the creator of laughter. So there's nothing wrong in laughing. There's nothing wrong in being cheerful and joyful, and even gaining amusement off the innocent things of nature. But to try and force a laugh is what the Bible brings out is wrong. Does anyone else have any thoughts on this before we go into our youth and adult Sabbath school time? Please go right ahead.